All right, so let's regroup everybody. This is where we keep it. This is where we keep it 100. You don't gotta fake it until you make it here, right? We are just raw dogging it all the way. We are as real as it gets here in this community. And let's be honest, it takes a lot to shock us these days. We have seen it all. We have been through it all. We are perpetually exhausted. Like, it takes a lot to shake and move and shock a bitch. Am I right? You know that meme of that video meme of Britney Spears where she's being scared by this like clown popping out of a box next to her on the Ellen show and she is literally unbothered and barely even blinks. That is all of us, okay? Personified on the daily. We've been broken in more ways than one. But I have to say, something occurred where, but of all places, okay, but the Drew Barrymore show, nonetheless, that had me a little surprised this week. So what happens? Drew is here. Sit as she does, like leave it to Drew sitting here braiding basically Christina Aguilera's hair. Okay. And they are talking like the close talker of your nightmares. Okay. Here's Drew coming in hot. Like, again, leave the talk show expertise to the rest of us, babe. Like, leave it to the experts, sweetie. But anyway, in the meantime, until that happens, we have Drew Barrymore here who's interviewing Christina Aguilera. And interviewing, I mean, again, like the daily recurrence of her Girl Scouts meeting around a bonfire, like eating Samoas, okay? And they're talking about female sexuality, empowerment, and all this. And Christina, like in true Christina form, so glad she hasn't wavered on this, is reflecting on her assless chaps era of ex Tina and Dirty, and how could we forget, okay? Like the anthem of every coach or not coach bus ride, my middle school extravaganzas. And then we have Drew here who's reflecting on being on the play cover of Playboy magazine, which was absolutely iconic, nothing raunchy. It's little old Drew there pulling up. She's wearing a white Playboy tee and the black Playboy logo on it. And like it's lifted up a little bit. And then we see a butterfly tattoo above her belly button, like very, very iconic. And they're sitting here like jibber jabbering. And Drew says, I loved every minute of it. And I have to be honest with you, I was a little surprised because in this era, in this, let's be real, right? We are in the time of everything is to blame on the men and the powers that be and the patriarchy. And especially now with Hollywood women coming out left, right, and sideways, out of the woodwork, out of the bushes and sewers, being like, I was coerced into this, that, and the other thing. And even Christina, I love this. She even said, you know, there's so much judgment in this and that, but not in the way you would think. Because she's saying everybody fits it now into the narrative of, oh, you just did this for a guy. Oh, you just did it to, you know, fit where you were supposed to do for the male gaze, da da da. And she says, no, I too loved every minute of it. It was so empowering. There's just something about that primal, raw female sexuality and owning your body and all this. And I have to say, again, it was really, especially right, because Drew specifically was surprising coming from her because a multitude of factors. Like, we know that she's had a troubled past of abuse and drugs, and she also can be on the woke side here and there. Like, again, you know, basically giving Dylan Mulvaney a lap dance, but like absolutely nobody asked, right? And so you would think she would be in that camp of, you know, oh, I was coerced or against my will or this or that. And she completely owned it to this day, saying, I loved every minute of it, which I love because also it's like, ladies, like, listen, I'm not saying that some shady shiz hasn't gone down in Tinseltown. Like, you know the drill, you know what I mean. But it's also like, come on, gals, like, let's go, girls, as Shania would say. It's like, let's have a little responsibility and accountability and ownership, like these gals did, of like, fuck yeah, I did that, right? Like, come on. And so, looking at all of this, you know, as a girl myself whose claim to fame, and as you know, like, I won't let a day go by and I give no fucks about it without reminding all y'all, without reminding the leaves blowing outside of one of my biggest career accomplishments of being the only woman in Playboy who both posed and was featured in the masthead as a contributor and writer in the same issue. But it got me thinking, what does all this say? Like, why did this, of all the news, of all the things going on in the zeitgeist that have our brains, okay, in a blender of despair, why is this something that stood out to me? And what does this say? That even still to this day, like Christina Aguilera, I would expect that, like, I salute you, ma'am. But Drew, I was, you know, surprised. I mean, think about it, right? Like, all of the memoir, like everyone and their mom and their grandmas and their Liza, like the ghost of Liza Minnelli's, like you name it, has come out with memoirs about how they were, you know, Emily Ratajkowski, this person, that person, like Cindy Crawford, even though that was a plot twist because she claimed Oprah of exploiting her, making her feel uncomfortable. But I digress. See, like with these bitches, you just never know, right? But everybody coming out of the woodwork with memoirs about how they were exploited and coerced and all this, right? So what does it say that Drew Barrymore was like, no, I loved every minute of it. It got me thinking again, how there is such, like, no matter these days, how you try to twist it, how you try to twist, shake and shout it, that there's just something about that primal, again, female sexuality that is so powerful. And I know my, you know, like my whole mission, right, is about bringing that and the intellect and the mind and the power of that together. But like, let's just isolate and focus on like the body and that raw sexuality, right, of women, how there is such power in that in and of itself. Again, no matter who and both sides are guilty of doing this, of, you know, with the left, like every woman who ever breathed is a victim inherently, right? Because like the sun happened to shine on her that day. And so she's the victim of that. And then you have like this new, well, I don't know if it's really has gone everywhere, but it's like a resurgence of conservatism that has infiltrated our lives, like a viral TikTok again, that nobody asked for, that is now trying to go back to the puritanical ways of like churning our own butter, I suppose, of this whole like women have to be modest or they won't be respected or blah, 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 blah. I mean, I was even on my feed the other day and I saw Candace Owens coming out again, like through the stratosphere, and all the caption said was, ladies, listen up. And I'm like, I can only imagine what this chick has to say today about telling women their role and putting them in their place and how to be the woman of the house and modest and yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. Right. And, you know, again, both sides, like no matter how you try to twist it or dismantle it or skew it, there's just something unshakable about that, that bitch, even Drew Barrymore has come to the light to see, you know, and it even thinking about the revival of Pam Anderson, because you have even like, thanks to the Pam and Tommy show, which that is like a whole other ball of wax in and of itself, there's been this whole like resurgence and revival of Pam Anderson, even for Gen Z, like appreciating what she stood for. And I, you know, there are a lot of things that consume the overthinking brain of an Aquarius like myself. It never stops. Like the brain, this shit don't sleep. Pam Anderson consumes a lot of my thoughts and I am not mad. She lives rent-free in my psyche and I'm not mad about it, right? But I think about this often because, again, in a time where it's like, oh, you can't, like, it's so stigmatized if women are sexual in any way. Like, again, you won't be respected. You won't be taken seriously. Like, blah, blah, pantsuits galore. What about Pam Anderson? And Pam Anderson was no bimbo and no dummy. I always love the clips where she would go toe to toe with like late night hosts who would, you know, oogle and ogle at her tits or whatever it is. But Pam Anderson didn't rise to fame because she was a rocket scientist, right? Like she obviously symbolized that just unabashed, gorgeous, hot, empowering female beauty and all of its raw sexuality. And there's something still to this day, like with the little sperm eyebrows and the overdone, like dark shadow, like the whole thing, the overlined lips, that this is even resonating with Gen Z of like, wow, like that image alone, again, like what is this image in and of itself isolated mean, represent? and the power of that and the power that can have on people. And so I really, you know, have thought about how, like, we're seeing it a lot, and something that I kind of like toe the line of often, and I want to pick up on this. If you guys listened to my episode last week with Juliet Schroeder, who's a big entertainment journalist, what have you, I want to pick up on where she and I kind of flirted with this concept last week, if you listen, but the idea of women in pop culture playing with their sexuality. Like, I'll always give kudos to like the Megan Foxes, right? And you even have, as of late, like even Beyonce with her new artwork and cover work for her new country album. I was like, look at this bitch go. Like, she's over here. She's popped out all these kids. I think Beyonce's in her 40s now. And this is this like the most sexual she's ever been. I was like, look at this ho, ho, ho at the hoedown. Like, she has like her, I assume, and I don't even care, like re-engineered, nice, you know, propped up, peppy little big titties out on display. She has a little silver heart-shaped item, I don't, miscellaneous object, covering her little hoo-ha and like holding a smoking gun with a cowboy hat, and round, round, round this rodeo we go, like giddy up, yee-haw indeed. I was like, look at this, like completely owning it. And I really loved that. You know, someone else I talked about with Juliet was Sabrina Carpenter. And the reason that I tease all this, right, is the idea of what we talked about of like, if and how and when it goes too far, right? Which I'm getting two children, okay? This is the class of your lifetime. We are going on this journey today. And someone else that I brought up who's really caught my attention lately, and also I don't, no regrets about her consuming many of my thoughts, is Sabrina Carpenter. And the reason that Sabrina Carpenter is so fascinating to me and super inspiring and empowering and just fun to watch is because she totally, again, in a time and in an era where, how could you play into the male gaze? Men want you to do this. did I not just sound like a little like wood chipper? What? But you know what? I'm here for it. I wear many hats here. Cancel me, baby. Okay. Media bird impersonator connoisseur. But Sabrina Carpenter, first of all, has no shame in her game of completely playing into that male fantasy, right? As a young, she's like 26, I think, totally, you know, feeding into Gen Z, like they're eating it up. Love it. Love to see it. But she holds that power. Again, it's not like the purely bimbo thing of like, I'm going to be a blonde with big tits. It's like, she has the big blonde hair. She wears these tiny, like this, almost like these doll-like outfits, like, you know, under boob or corsets or teeny tiny little skirts, but at this, and has this like, she's Operation Sex Goddess body. All right, let's be real. But she has these almost in Spice Girl style, these big, huge platform boots of like, fuck with me, I dare you. And the reason though, taking it a step further, is because the way that she flips the script and takes the power back in a sense, or plays with power and gender dynamics of sexuality, but in a really fun and not angry way, right? So for eons, we have seen men in culture, entertainment, you know, literature, what have you, comment on women's sexuality and bodies, joke about it in raunchy, you know, rom-coms, comment on it, all kinds of things. So to see Sabrina Carpenter kind of, again, take that power back, and she's in this total, like, owning it, like, powerful, but, like, little sex doll persona while doing these off-the-cuff, like, rap verses about cock innuendos and, like, teasing men and, again, having that power of, like, not putting men down and, like, paying ode to their cocks, but also, like, teasing them in a little way is genius. Love it. I love to see it. It's the best thing ever. And so, like, kudos to her. Where is the Nobel Peace Prize to Sabrina? And even for me, you know, personally, again, I've alluded to little stories like this here and there on the show, but in my whole journey too of marrying, you know, my own, like stepping into my own sexuality and female power in not only like in the backdrop of my own life and where I'm at, but of this cultural chaos, you know, of it all. It's so fun for me to play into the dichotomy of both things, right? Because that's the other thing is like, somehow we've let this happen. And I, again, I blame both sides on this, but somehow we've let this happen to where if we see a woman who looks like a Barbie, we think that she's dumb or a bimbo and has rocks for brains, right? I don't know actually if you guys have seen this, but it's semi-entertaining, but also semi-obnoxious, but and it keeps coming up on my feed. So like the Instagram algorithm is hellbent on me seeing these videos. But this guy, and I'm convinced that they're staged half the time, but this guy goes on the street and interviews these women who are basically dressed like strippers and who also are like proving to be little geniuses. So they'll have like their whole like fake tits out and teeny tiny like G-string denim shorts basically. And he'll be like, okay, name a country that starts with A, but doesn't end in A, right? Automatically, who's not like Australia, Austria? Like we're thinking of all these things. This bitch literally in 2.0 seconds is like Afghanistan. Thanks again. Like who stage for anybody. I don't care what you look like. That shit is staged. But nonetheless, it kind of feeds into the thing of like, it's entertaining because it's like, see, you know, hot girls can be smart, but it's also kind of obnoxious because it's kind of like, what a surprise. Hot girls can indeed be smart. See, and it's, there's also, again, the factor of it that the factor to me that makes it seem like it's a little staged, which the whole thing is a little bit obnoxious. And what's also obnoxious is you see in the comments, like this is where, you know, the frat boy culture is alive and well, alive and thriving in these comments, unfortunately, for the most part. Some of them are really good. Some of them, I will say, it's like, this is the girl you marry, right? But then others are like so derogatory. And to all of you, like, babe, good luck getting laid ever, like get a brain cell. But anywho, right. Overall, all that goes to say, you know, feeding into that idea again, like, look how mind blowing it is, like a girl who's, you know, hot and smart. But in my own journey and more I'm living it, I come to see how exciting it really is when you step into all those things and how both men and women see and feed off of that power. And one recent story that I really love is that I went to a networking event here in Nashville. It was specifically for women in business, successful entrepreneurs in the city. And here I am. Okay, it's my first time at this networking event. I show up late. I'm like stumbling in. Okay, also on top of it, looking like a real life body double of Margot Robbie in Barbie, the one who was nominated for an Oscar though. Oh God, oh no. But anyway, I'm wearing this, you know, as usual and talk to me Taylor style. I have like nipples popping out, a tiny pink sweater, a pink like Barbie coat, and these low rise, like talk about the ex-Tina days, like these low rise little Levi's jeans and just owning it. So I walk in, they're all already like in a circle. And again, it's, you know, some of them are, you know, maybe they're, you know, middle-aged or not as young or not as fit or a little older, whatever it is, right? And between just owning the presence of the Barbie, but I also in Taylor form, because it's just what I do. Like an Aquarius will do what they do. You know, you just can't stop it. You just can't stop it. I kind of, you know, take control of the situation. So I'm like, all right, like who here does what? This is what I do. Sure enough, they are now like, oh, okay. Yes, ma'am. Like, okay, this girl's in control. Like, let's go. Like, next thing I know, they're like, oh, Taylor, we're going to go around and start introducing each other, but we're going to go around this way. Like telling me as if I run the place and own the place. Meanwhile, I'm thinking, this is my first time here. I just met all of you, but it was so cool because it's like, wow, like, all right, like this girl's in charge. Like I'm listening. I'm along for the ride. Like, and on top of it, one of them or a couple of them made a comment like Taylor's bringing Barbie back, you know? And again, it's so surprising because in a good way, because you would think that somebody like, you know, people like this or group like this would be group of women who find someone like me to be, you know, they would be, you know, a little irritated or annoyed or jealous, or that thing Christina Aguilera is talking about, which oddly enough, a lot of it is women on women, of like the judgment, or like, oh, well, men will find me attractive too, or whatever it is. And when you kind of bring the power of both together, it will just move mountains. And I've seen it happen and have that effect of with women of all shapes and ages, men. And that's what I really want to empower both men and women to do. Like, not men, don't get it twisted. Like, I'm not trying to have you be out here, you know, dressing like Barbies. Like, that's not, sirs, plural, gentlemen. That's not what I'm saying here. What I want to see is for women to be women and men to be men. And that yin and the yang and the power that each has, and each be acknowledged in that way and respected in that way. And round we go. Like, to the hoedown we go, Texas Hold'em. Am I right? See what I mean? Like, what? It's a small world after all. Like, what a happy time we have. So that is what, again, because those are such primal things. Yet our culture in so many ways, especially now, because nothing makes absolute any goddamn sense, has tried to manipulate and skew both of those things in so many ways. So I was actually talking about all of this with a really close guy friend of mine before shooting. And he, you guys, he was feeling a type of way, as I know many dudes do. I've had conversations with a lot of guys about this, about how women, you know, in this era, again, with the narrative, as Xtina so eloquently and beautifully pointed out, that, you know, oh, it's just orchestrated and it was just, you know, constructed by men and you're just feeding into it. My friend is like, okay, so why am I on the beach and seeing all these women in little like triangle tops with their titties hanging out and G-strings and this and that? I find it hard to believe that it's just for a man, or that, see, they like it. Like, there's something primal in women feeling in their, you know, feminine power and sexuality and showing their body off and whatever it is. Like, you can't tell me that they're all just robots and they're brainwashed and then that's for a guy. Like, on some level they have to like feeling and being in that feminine power too. And I was just like, bro, like, chill. Like, maybe you should do an episode, maybe you should do a show on this, because you are feeling a type of way about this subject. But like I said, I know a lot of guys really do feel this way. And so, to, like I said, to pick up, like, as a woman now speaking, as a, because we know guys feel a type of way because they are feeling like they get blamed for the grass being green, okay? But as a woman talking about this, and this is where I want to pick up on where Juliet and I left off, is we talk about, in pop culture, especially now, the idea of it going too far with women and their sexuality, right? And as I told her, this is where I often feel torn, because as a free expression and free speech absolutist bitch, you know, there's a part of me that's like, okay, like, who am I to tamper with or cap, you know, your free expression? But then there's another part of me, you know, especially someone who is such an advocate for this and for women to be proud of and explore their female sexual, because it is such untapped power in there. Ladies, you don't, like, let's go. You don't even know, okay? But I do feel like there's a part, and I said this to Juliet, that when, if and when does it just go too far? Because if every other thing is a, you know, a penny over your nipples as your bikini top, pasty this, butthole that, labia this, G-string that, like, down the street, at the office, at the gym, at the beach, in your dreams, in your living room, like, wherever, on the bus, like, wherever we are, if it's just too much all the time, does that work against my mission and what I'm trying to do, right? To empower women to bring out the best of both. Like, again, like the Megan Fox, like, to be super fucking smart and also no shame in showing your body and being super fucking hot. Like, does it work against my cause when it's just too much all the time? Then will it be going backwards, or will no one will take anything seriously ever that a woman dressed like that has to say, where it'll just be an eye roll, it'll just be salacious, or it'll be women who are so over the top doing and saying and dumb doing and saying, as I'm trying to speak, dumb shit that just, again, works against my cause, right? So I'm thinking about all this. I told you I'm an overthinker. Okay, it's on brand. It's what I do. It's how, it's a lifestyle, sweetie. Okay, so get on board. But then upon reflecting on this talk and, you know, my inner dialogue, okay, as usual, like the voices in my head, but this dialogue I had with Juliet, I thought about it and I thought, you know, when it comes down to it, we really do only have this dialogue around women. Think about it. Like, we really do put a cap on what's salacious and what's modest and sexuality and this when it comes to women. And it really got me thinking. It's like, you know, we are the ones who made it weird. Like, we've made it weird, period. I mean, when you think historically, right? Think of even art with Greek goddesses, how often, like in these beautiful statues, it's like their breasts are out. I mean, think about the Venus. Like, yeah, she's covering those little guys, but still, like, they're out, like covering the PP, covering the TTs, but like they're still out and they're still here to be seen. You know, you even think about the Native Americans here in America until the Puritans, the Pilgrims, these peeps came over and fucked this shit up because the Native American women were very much equal to men when it comes to, when it came, like, societally, when it came to sexuality, even like premarital sex wasn't, it ain't a thing. It was not a thing for Native American women. It was like, okay, like men do it, women do it, cool. And even taking a step further from sexuality, Native American women were even equal to men when it came to like ownership and property and dwellings and that kind of thing. Cause as we know, and even to this day, property and ownership is a symbol of stature, right? And status in society. And so it really got me thinking. It's like, we are the ones who really made it weird. So what, like, again, as always, just something to kick off to you to really think about is how, for me, it's not even like the outcome as much, because not like, contrary to what Kamala Harris thinks, nothing should, it's all about process, not outcome based, right? But like, meritocracy for the win, little sidebar. No, but all about process and control with all of this. Like, even I, in this dialogue and in this conversation, and even in my own inner thoughts of like, how far is too far? Da, 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 da. You know, what's too much? What's going to hurt? What's going to help? And realizing like, this has all come from the years of the process itself, not the outcome, like the process and control and who's controlled it and who's come in and tried to run the ship. Like, excuse me, who asked? And so just to kick it off to you guys is something that I'd really love for you to think about. Like, let's share a brain. Let's be a Siamese twin. Good luck lasting a day with me. But something to think about, what would society be like if we didn't make women's sexuality such a thing? Like, if we didn't make it so stigmatized, if we didn't make it so weird, like, if, like, why did we have to make it weird, right? Especially because it's like, when you look at, again, like Greek goddesses and Native Americans, like all this, and women, especially because sexuality is so innate for men, women, and in human nature, period. Like, what would a society look like if it was not only just normalized, like, but if it was respected and honored and celebrated almost in, again, the primal innate way that it should be? Because I feel like, I don't know about you, but we wouldn't even be having these conversations about, it would just be like normal or everyday life. It wouldn't be these conversations of like too little, too much, like, again, dressing like a nun or being up here at the Grammys with a stripper bowl. Like, I just feel like there wouldn't be this extreme pendulum swing. It would just be integrated and immersed in a sane, normal way, which sadly our society has no grip on whatsoever. But put your little, you know, thinking caps and time machine vortex portals on. Strap in and strap on, people, and give yourselves something to think about. What would our society look like we didn't make it so weird.